rather than search deep into our passage for this sermon, for this message, excuse me, we'll paint with broad strokes of the entire chapter. We want to catch a glimpse of the wonderful, weird, strange, seemingly contradictory words, but I assure you, God's word is truly amazing. We will very briefly visit each of the places Jesus goes in this chapter and savor lightly the word God prepared for us. I want us to see God's word can be mysterious, even at times the opposite of what you and I might expect. So let's buckle up and humbly be ready to listen and see and welcome God's way that just might not be what we expected. So we want to speak about Jesus' journey through this chapter, Luke chapter 4. And I want to take you to five places Jesus went in this chapter. First, Jesus' first visit is to the wilderness. In Luke chapter 4, verse 1, he reads, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. It was the Holy Spirit who was leading Jesus into the wilderness. If the Holy Spirit is leading, then we can expect at least a couple of wonderful things. If the Holy Spirit is leading first, then we can anticipate a time of worship, a time to glorify God, right? Secondly, if the Holy Spirit is leading, then we can expect to be a place of amazing blessing, maybe like the prayer meetings or the retreats we have in the mountains. But here, in our passage, the Holy Spirit seems to be leading Jesus into the wrong place, doesn't it? In Luke chapter 4, verse 2, he reads, where for 40 days in the wilderness, of course, Jesus was tempted by the devil. It is the Holy Spirit who led Jesus into the wilderness to experience what? Temptation by the devil. Rather than a safe place, the Holy Spirit led Jesus, it seems, into danger, into trials, into conflicts, and into temptations in the wilderness. Has the Holy Spirit forgotten how to lead when he led Jesus into the wilderness? Or could we be mistaken into thinking that God's way is always into a better situation, into what we think is a better solution? We need to learn that God's leading is not always into the places where we think he should. His ways are higher, and at times, he leads us into unexpected places to encounter unexpected things. We need to learn to drop our ways and submit to him, and learn to humbly follow him, even when he is leading us into the wilderness as he led Jesus. Like I said, today we will paint broad strokes. I won't go deep into each of the passages. So that was the first place he visited, the wilderness. The second place Jesus visits is to Nazareth, Luke chapter 4, verse 14. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read. And what a glorious reception by the hometown people, right? They loved his teaching. They were simply mesmerized by him. In Luke chapter 4, verse 20 and 22, look at the response of the people. Then he says, then he rolled up the scroll, meaning put away the Bible, right? Gave it back to the attendant and sat down. Notice the people's reaction. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. They simply couldn't take their eyes off him. They were just simply amazed. Listen and read the response of the people. all the people in the synagogue, right, whose eyes were fastened on him and were amazed at the gracious words he spoke, we were told in verse 22. Now he says what? All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him. This is Jesus they are driving out of town. Took him, Jesus, to the brow of the hill on which the town was built. To do what? In order to throw him off the cliff. Why? What happened? Why did Jesus say, what did Jesus say that made them so angry that they were ready to murder him? In chapter 4, verse 24 to 27, you need to read on your own, Jesus spoke about providing for a Gentile woman and healing a Gentile man of his leprosy. In other words, Jesus spoke about the love and goodness God poured onto undeserving people. Such compassion should evoke praise and wonder for God's greatness, right? But here, for this people, the Jews, God's goodness was not celebrated, but made them so upset that they wanted to kill Jesus. Dear friends, we really need to be careful with our hearts, because we too can easily fall into evil when God is actually doing good. Like Jonah, when God wants to bless the enemy, we can easily get angry with God's goodness. Oh, how unlike his heart is ours, isn't it? Now, let me take you to the third place where Jesus' journey takes him, and that is to the city of Capernaum. In Luke 4, verse 31, then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath, he taught the people. The synagogue is like a church today, and here we expect God's holy people to gather to sing praises, to pray, and to hear God's truthful words. But something seems out of place in this synagogue. In chapter 4, verse 33 and 34, he reads, in the synagogue there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Actually, the words were very truthful. Jesus of Nazareth is the Holy One of God. And he has come to destroy the enemy. He has come to destroy sin. So which is really, really true. So Jesus should have approved these truthful words, don't you think? Jesus should have encouraged for more of such truth, right? Such right doctrines must be taught in the church, definitely. Jesus should have been pleased. But again, Jesus is not pleased at all. Not with any of those words, as truthful as they sounded. In Luke chapter 4, verse 35, this is what Jesus said after hearing such truth. Be quiet, Jesus says sternly. Come out of him. Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. Jesus told the demon who was speaking the truth, be quiet. Jesus didn't want to hear it. Why? Doesn't he want to hear truth proclaimed? Of course he does. For God is the God of truth. In fact, in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth. He is the truth and the life. So if Jesus is the truth and loves the truth, what was the problem, the truth the demon was declaring? This truth was not spoken by faith for God's glory. Let me repeat that. This truth that the devil spoke was not spoken by faith for God's glory. Sure, the words were true, but the heart that spoke would not accept God's truth, and he was not declaring it for God's glory. Friends, brothers and sisters, we really need to understand, just merely uttering the truth, that's not God's way. Just do it, even if it is good things, that's not God's way. God's way of doing is only by faith for the glory of God. We see the demons clearly knew the right words, the right doctrines, if you will. And to that, Jesus says, be quiet. Quiet. Let's learn to not just utter the words. Let's welcome God's truth to sink deep into our hearts so that we will confess them in faith for the glory of our Father. Now, this takes us to the fourth place where Jesus went, and that is to Simon's home. In Luke chapter 4, verse 38, Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. And what did he do when he entered the disciples' home? In Luke chapter 4, verse 38 to 40, again, let me read. Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over and rebuked the fever, and he left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. At sunset, I underline that. It's important later that I'll explain. The people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, he healed them. Right? Simon's home suddenly became like a hospital, a place of healing, because Jesus healed all those who came to him. Did you notice when the people started to come to Simon's home? In Luke 4:40, it says, at sunset. Sunset. What has the sunset got to do with Jesus healing them? Remember in Luke 4:31, what day was that? It was called the Sabbath. So, until sunset, it was still the Sabbath. So they thought they could not bring their loved ones for healing, at least not just yet. They waited until the sunset, so the Sabbath would be over, then their tradition taught them they can have healing. Listen, please, listen well. Wrong understanding of God's word made these people suffer longer. Did you catch that? Wrong understanding of God's word made his people suffer longer. Oh man, there's so much illustrations and applications I could do this, because many people who have wrong understanding of our Christianity, they really suffer both doctrinally, but also in their experience and in just in so many ways. Wrong understanding of God's word made these people suffer longer, because they could have brought their loved ones sooner and Jesus would have healed them, like Jesus healed Simon's mother-in-law. When? Before the sunset, not after. See, after the night of healing, the next morning, all the people were gone, of course. Did you see what Jesus did when he was alone? In Luke 4:42, at daybreak, right, at dawn probably, Jesus went out to a solitary place. Jesus went to be alone so that he could be alone with his Father. In order to be alone with the Father, did you see? He wanted to be alone from the people. Sometimes you have to walk away from people, not because you don't want them, but you need to be alone with the Father. What did people want from Jesus As they came the next day, again, if we read the full verse in chapter 4, verse 42, in Luke, he says, at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place to be alone, right, to the Father. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. It's only natural for them to want to keep Jesus from leaving. Why? They wanted the blessing, so they didn't want Jesus to leave. But he could have, because, right, they wanted the healing. They wanted so many good things Jesus could give them. Yet, Jesus was not swayed by their adoration. Jesus was not swayed by their desire to keep him with them. So he says in Luke 4:43, but he said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, that because that is why I was sent. So that takes us, lastly, to Jesus' fifth place, and that is to the other towns and to the other synagogues of Judea. So let me read Luke 4, 43 and 44. He says, but he said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Why didn't Jesus stay where the people were welcoming him, loved him, and wanted him to be with them? I mean, who doesn't want to stay in a place where he is showered with love? Personally, I know I do. Don't you? But Jesus would not stay. He would leave because his purpose for coming was to do what the Father sent him to do. And what is it that the Father sent him to do? He was to go to all the other towns, enter the synagogues where the people will be, so that he could proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. That is, he was sent to preach the gospel. Why is preaching the gospel so important for Jesus? You see, the gospel is the key to our salvation. There is no other way to be saved except to believe the gospel, and that is Jesus crucified and resurrected. That is the only way to be cleansed from our sins and to be saved. The gospel opens the door to heaven. Outside of the gospel of Christ, our sins will send us to the everlasting kingdom of the darkness, where the fire of brimstone and sulfur will torture us for all eternity. The gospel is what forms and shapes our new identity. If not for the gospel, we can only be what we do. That's why the people of the world are so adamant about working so hard and rising above everyone else, because they identify themselves, or their identity is what they do or what they accomplish. But not so with the people who believe in the gospel, because you see, the gospel of Jesus is what changes us, gives us a new life, and adopts us into God's everlasting family, and fills us with the Holy Spirit, and God deposits his truth onto our hearts and our minds. Our identity is not what we do, what we accomplish, but what he has done for us in the gospel. It is the gospel of Jesus that speaks, confirms, and reassures sinners of God's sacrificial love, his unending forgiveness, his unconditional presence to always be with us, to never forsake us. The gospel is why there's really another in the fire, like the song goes. The gospel is why he's the God who stays. The gospel is why it is okay to not be okay, because he's got us. The gospel is why we have hope. We have a second chance. Why we will never be rejected, forsaken, or lost. Jesus was sent to all the towns to preach the gospel. That's the work the Father sent him to do. How about us? Do you know All God's people are also sent to this world to do the Father's will. Listen to these two things. First, we are not just born to be here on our own. We are all sent by our God to this world. In other words, we're not just born in this world, we are sent people. Secondly, we are sent to this world with a purpose, and that is to do God's will. And what is God's will for us to do? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God sent us to this world to be his ambassadors of his kingdom. Our ambassadorship must shape the way we live in this world. That is, everything we do, every decision we make, all of our values and all of our words must reflect and display heaven, our true citizenship. So in our family, in our work, when we play, how we raise our children, all the decisions we make should reflect heaven's beauty. And heaven is beautiful for one reason, and that is because of our King. The more we spend time with him, the more we know him, and the more we delight to obey him, the more we fall deeply in love with him, the better we will display his beauty to the people of this world. Do you spend every single day sitting at his presence, in his word, and in prayer? May I lovingly encourage every one of God's people, please don't neglect your daily quiet time. I pray that you will make your daily QT the most important, essential, blessed, and love-filled time of your entire day. Please sit. Daily sit at his feet and drink of his goodness. May I remind us, when we are done with our service here on earth, we don't die actually. Instead, we'll be called back home. Just as the Father sent us to be his ambassadors to the world, one day, it could be this year, next year, or somewhere in the future, but one day will come. And he will call us to come home. That's how we leave this world. Not death, but death is the door to coming home. That's the life of an ambassador. To do what we are sent for. And that is to be Christ's ambassadors in this world. May you be a wonderful ambassador of Christ with family, in your work, and the people you meet. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just in this chapter, humbly examining the journey and the steps of our Savior, the walk he took had a different direction and purpose than ours. The reasons for his choosing and decisions were different than what we would choose and decide. You were driven to do what the Father sent you to do. But Lord, you have also taught us that's actually our lives as well. To do what our Father sent us to do. Because we see our beginning in this world through the birthing in a baby from a mother's womb, we often think this is the beginning for getting lower. Actually, it was you who sent us to this world to be birthed, to be trained and equipped to do your work that you sent us for. Lord, we don't do that very well, but we want to learn. And we're not always so very obedient, but we want to be. So Lord, please bless your people, bless each of us with the heart that delights more than anything else, your glory and your will, so that, Lord, as your children, as your sons and daughters, we will truly display the goodness and the beauty of our Heavenly Father in the way we live, decisions we make, the attitudes we have, the way we deal and treat people, the way we speak. Let everything about us, Lord, simply be a reflection and a display of you in us. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful, amazing calling. We love you, and we pray these things in Christ's wonderful name.